When we look at the ahadith that talk about the coming of the Imam, they let us know that there are certain tests on the way. There are tests on the way. Everybody doesn't make it. Everybody doesn't make it. Some people slip and fall. One of the hadith is from our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayh. He says, لَبُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ أَنْ يُمَحَّسُوا. He says that definitely the people will be tested. وَيُمَيَّزُوا. The people are going to be separated, distinguished from one another. وَيُغَرْبَلُوا. The people are going to be sifted. And he says, سَيَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْغِرْبَالِ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ. There's going to be a lot of people who fall right through that sieve. People who aren't able to make it. People who don't pass the test. If we're going to talk about our duties towards Islam, we have three duties that we are supposed to do now in the end of times. One of them is to understand Islam. We want to understand Islam properly. We want to know what true Islam is, what true Islam is. Secondly, implementing and practicing Islam is very important. It's not enough just to have it in the mind that I believe in my heart and mind about Islam, but I'm not implementing Islam. Thirdly, we have to share Islam. We have to spread Islam. And this is going to be the difference between fake westernized Islam and true Islam. Now, because we live in a secular society, it's easy for us also to adapt secular principles, sometimes without being aware. For instance, there might be a question. Let's say you and I leave this majlis and we're fired up and we say that we have to go and not only understand Islam, not only practice Islam, but you and I have a duty to reach out to our circle of friends and to the extent that we're capable, share these teachings of Islam. There's pushback. What's the pushback? Part of the pushback might be this. Why is it that you're concerned with the faith and practice of other people? Leave people alone. Now we have Trump in America. There are some Muslims, inshallah, none of us are like this. All they want from the Trump administration is just to be able to practice Islam without persecution. As long as I can implement some small form of Islam and practice without persecution, I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Brothers and sisters, when we're talking about true Islam, Islam of the Mahdi, we're talking about something a lot bigger than that. Why isn't that you guys can't leave people alone? How come you have to go over and also share faith, knowing ayat of the Quran, you can't make anybody a Muslim. La ikraha fid din. You cannot force faith down anybody's throat. But why do you have to share Islam? Why not just leave people alone? There are some Muslims. Remember, we're growing up here in the West. Let's be careful about this. Sometimes when we grow up here in the West, we're trained to be selfish. We're trained to be selfish. How is that the case? But there's so many good causes. People are helping people. Don't you see? Listen to what carefully to what I say. See if this makes sense. We're trained to be selfish. There are some Muslims, brothers and sisters, when they see the suffering of other people, they see Muslims who are not praying, Muslims who are not fasting. There's some people, they practice themselves. I'm practicing. I mean, he or she is not practicing. I'm not traumatized at the idea of seeing my brothers and sisters are not doing what they're supposed to do. There's some people who don't feel that way towards other Muslims. Then there's some people who maybe according to Muslims, they say, well, Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar. If I see a Muslim, one of my family members, they're not making Salat, I'll go. Sometimes we don't feel this sense towards the rest of creation. The rest of the people, Amir al-Mu'mineen told us, there are equals in creation. What do I feel about them? When I see, for instance, people are on alcohol, drugs, homeless, depressed, gambling. When I see those different vices that are in society, how do I feel towards those people? And God forbid I'm one of those Muslims who looks scornfully at the local population. I want to give you a story from the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet was in Mecca and he saw somebody who was gambling in Mecca. One of the mushrikeen, apparently this is before Islam. Sometimes gambling becomes an addiction. They keep thinking, I'm going to win. I can make it. I'll get it right this time. So the Prophet's watching this in Medina. This poor guy starts gambling, gets into a fix. He gambles away his camel. Instead of him thinking, enough is enough. I'll cut my losses. I'll leave. You know how it is when people are gambling? He says, I'm going to up the stakes. I'm going to put my house on the line. He puts his house on the line. He loses his house. He can't stop himself. He says, what I'm going to do is I'll gamble 10 years of my life. I'm going to work for you for 10 years. This time it'll come through. And again, he lost 10 years of his life. When the Prophet saw this, they said the Prophet was so upset. Seeing one of the mushrikeen suffer in this way, he left Mecca. He went out into the hills.
The rest of that day he spent outside of Mecca.
Then after that, and towards the evening, later on in the evening, the Prophet came back. So true Islam, in a nutshell, we care about others. We feel for others. We feel for the suffering of others. Now there's another counter argument. I don't want to go over and necessarily be mixing with all those people, those sinners. Maybe if I'm over there and I'm trying to talk to these people and engage with these individuals, maybe my faith will get weakened.
You ever thought about that?
We use different excuses. Sometimes we're just selfish. How much is taqwa supposed to be in our lives? How is it supposed to change us? To be the leaders of the army of the Imam, not just the regular soldiers. If we want to be leaders in the army of the Imam, we have to go over, we have to be strong in our taqwa. We have to go and take other people, help them reach out. Our taqwa, we have to be able to preserve ourselves. That's my primary duty. But more than that is what the expectation is. We have to go over and practice Islam, know Islam, and then share balanced mainstream Islam. Not our opinions. Balanced mainstream Islam without changing it. Without telling half-truths, without making it user-friendly, without tricking anybody to get them in. Share what Islam is. How concerned was our Prophet when it came to the well-being of other people? This is a verse of Quran now, Surah 18 and verse number 6. It says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Well, how much did our Prophet want to guide? How much did he care? 18:6. Yet perhaps you will destroy yourself out of grief for their sake if they should not believe in this account. The Prophet was going to die. He felt so bad seeing that people haven't heard this message. Why is there discrimination, poverty? There's people who are caring, people who are spending, people who are taking their time out. What's wrong with that? That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. What is our problem? Sometimes when people are caring in the West, they care about the symptom, they don't address the disease. What's the core reason? Why are people suffering? Brothers and sisters, the real reason is Islam not being there in the lives of people. And not just Islam in the books, by the way. Islam implemented. Islam where the wali of God rules. That's when you're going to find all of these problems are eradicated. Up until then, we'll keep trying to fix them. Keep trying to fix them. That the true solution is that political power be in the hands of the righteous, those who care about God's creation. Then we can have a solution. So in order for that to happen, what has to happen? People have to have iman and faith. They can't be part of the problem. نَحْنُ أَصْلُ الْخَيْرِ وَفُرُوعُهُ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ The hadith says that we Ahlul Bayt, the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt, that's the root of all goodness. When you have the wali of God ruling. And he says the branches are the other forms of goodness that we do. And he says, and our enemy, the wilayah of our enemy, is the source of all wickedness and the other ma'asi of Allah, discrimination, poverty, all of these things. These are just branches. The real cause is not having the wilayah in the hands of the wali of God. And I want to share verses of the Quran about this. What does it mean to be a mu'min? What does it mean to be a mu'min? Our verses of the Quran tell us a different definition than the traditional understanding. What's the real definition when it comes to faith? The idea that when we believe as Muslims, we believe with backup. We have rational arguments for our beliefs. Our beliefs are not superstition. There's somebody who told me somewhere in the Quran it says this. No, as believers, we engage the mind. Then we call for submission. First we engage the mind. We have to be convinced. We tell other people to come to this religion once we're convinced. Surah 12, verse number 118. قُلْ Say this. هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي This is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ I call to Allah. عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي I have insight. Those who follow me have insight. My family, we came from a Christian background. My family. Where sometimes in Christianity, there are times when your mind tells you, there's no way this can be correct. How can I believe three and is one? The mind rejects this. Who is Jesus praying to if he's God? Who is he praying to? As Muslims, First, we're going to have logical arguments. We'll convince you. You'll think about it. You'll consider. And then you arrive at faith as an intellectual conclusion. The heart has to be convinced. The mind has to be convinced. And then you accept. Now, what else? When it comes to faith, it's not only a mental exercise. It's not just a theological argument that, how many gods do you believe? Oh, I believe there's 365. How many do you believe? One. Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah. And we go about our way. That's just a conclusion that I've arrived to, that there's one God. That means I believe the Prophet is a prophet. Is that it when it comes to faith? Faith in Islam, Iman in Islam, is not simply a matter of believing that there's one God. That's not enough. Faith, which is going to take us and help us pass the test, has three conditions. One of them was that intellectual side. The second condition is that faith pushes us to action. If I believe there's paradise, if I believe there's hell, then that means my behavior is going to be very different. All varieties of faith are not respected in the Quran. I'm going to give you examples, stories from the Quran, verses of the Quran. There are some times in the Quran where people had ma'rifah. Ma'rifah. And it was useless. One example. This example is the story of shaitan. Right? There's a conversation in the Quran, an important conversation between shaitan and Allah. Qala, ma ma'anaka alla tashjuda idh amartuk. God is saying, what stopped you from prostrating when I commanded you? How come you didn't make sajda? Qala, shaitan speaking. Shaitan said, ana khayrun min. I'm better than he is. Ana khayrun min. I'm better than he is. What else? Khalaqtani min nar. Shaitan is saying that you made me from fire. Wa khalaqtahu min teen. You made him from clay. So shaitan, in this story, in the Quran, has ma'rifah. He believes Allah is the Khaliq. He's talking to God. But was that useful for him? No. What else? Sometimes people have yaqeen in the Quran. Yaqeen. Not ma'rifah, yaqeen. And yaqeen doesn't save them. When Musa alayhi salam showed these signs to his people had yaqeen that Musa is talking on behalf of Allah. Yaqeen. It says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا. They rejected. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Their nufus, their souls, their hearts had yaqeen. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ. So people can have yaqeen, but that doesn't mean that there's faith. What is faith? How do we judge, brothers and sisters, for true Islam, if we have iman even? What does God say in the Quran? Clear verse of Quran. Surah 8, verse number 1. What does God say? He says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and the Prophet. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you're a mu'min, if you believe, obey. Why is it in this verse that I shared with you that Allah mentions two sources? He says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ. Why does God say obey Allah and the Prophet? Why not just say obey Allah? Don't you believe the Prophet's ma'asum? Yes, you believe the Prophet's ma'asum. So is the Prophet going to say anything that's different than Allah? He's going to say the same thing. Why mention both? Just say it's enough. Obey Allah. This, brothers and sisters, is a sensitive point that separates true Islam from fake Islam. Why does God mention both? Brothers and sisters, how do you and I determine that we're obeying Allah? A lot of people can make claims about obeying Allah. I'm obeying Allah. You're obeying Allah. Everybody says they're obeying Allah. How when you and I make a difference? When do we know that we're obeying Allah? You have to obey Allah's representative. You have to obey Allah's representative. Who is the wali of Allah? The wali of God. In true Islam, brothers and sisters, not secular Islam, not fake Islam, in true Islam, you and I don't have a choice when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse is clear. وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ. Obey Allah وَالرَّسُولَ and obey His messenger. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you're a believer, obey.